Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. This Monday afternoon, July the 6th, I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next 10 minutes, a little preview, a little advance primer on the General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA begins Wednesday in Anaheim, California. Now, this one is significant for a number of reasons. The leftward direction of the Episcopal Church USA continues apace, but also, quite recently, a new province in Anglicanism here in America, the Anglican Church in North America, split off of, I guess you could say, the Episcopal Church USA. And I wonder, are they going to be discussing that, talking about that, when the Episcopal Church USA meets in California later this week? Joining us to discuss it, Father Todd Wetzel, Executive Director of Anglicans United. Father Wetzel, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd.
And Father Philip Ashe is Chief Operating Officer for the American Anglican Council. Father Ashe, welcome to you.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be on your show.
Father Ashe, do you expect that the Anglican Church in North America will be a topic of discussion or even some action by the Episcopal Church USA this week?
I don't believe, Todd, it will be a subject of action. I think whatever talk about the Anglican Church in North America will be indirect by TEC. And the reason for that is that the Episcopal Church is in denial over its declining membership, its declining finances, and is trying to put the best possible face on what it's doing. And I think the Anglican Church in North America is a point of tremendous conviction as to its decline and departure from biblical values.
Father Wetzel, how would you characterize the general direction of the Episcopal Church USA as it prepares to meet in General Convention?
Well, you're quite right. Dating back perhaps as long as 50 years, but certainly in the last 30, the drift in the Episcopal Church and the principal mood and character of the leadership has been undeniably liberal in endorsing a cultural captivity of the church. So that just about every liberal agenda in America has become the liberal agenda of the Episcopal Church, and our leadership has championed it.
Will they be addressing any of the concerns that have been expressed for the last several years from worldwide Anglicanism, Father Wetzel?
Certainly. They are about to review BO33, which is the policy that maintained a moratorium on gay ordinations and the blessing of same-sex unions. That is, in fact, surreptitiously going on all of the time in the Episcopal Church, but it has never been publicly embraced or endorsed. That's subject to review at this convention. Should it do so, should the policy be advanced by the Episcopal Church, it will place in further jeopardy our relationship to the Anglican Communion. And the Episcopal Church at this convention is basically making a decision. Will it function as an independent national church, or will it partner? Will it be, with integrity, part of the relationship it has historically been part of, and pay attention to those bonds of communion and bonds of faith that have historically been ours in Christ Jesus? That is paying attention in an interdependent way to our partners in the faith.
Father Ashe, what do you think will receive the most discussion at the General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA this week?
Well, I think Todd is right in pointing out Resolution BO33. The presiding bishop has put that first on the agenda in terms of a discussion, and she has stated that she doesn't want it to be formally repealed. But the reality is we're tracking 68 resolutions, many of them will, in fact, if passed, result in the election of further gays and lesbians as bishops, the formal rights for same-sex blessings, and will, in fact, further erode our connections, or the Episcopal Church's connections with the larger Anglican Communion. I'd actually go even a bit further than what Father Todd Wetzel was saying. I think the Episcopal Church is poised to try and become the center of a new Anglican Communion that basically exports a very false gospel that denies the basics of the faith, such as the uniqueness and universality of Jesus Christ as Lord, the authority of Scripture, literal existence of heaven and hell, and, you know, frankly, the sexual issues are simply the very tip of the iceberg of a wholesale departure and abandonment of the basics of the Christian faith. And this gospel they are trying actually to export to the rest of the Anglican Communion.
Well, Father Ashe, I heard Presiding Bishop Catherine Jeffords Shorey several times, probably about a year ago, use a term that sounded to me it could not have been a simple slip of the tongue. She used the term the Episcopal Communion or worldwide Episcopalianism. Is that what you're talking about here?
Yes, sir. Yes, Todd. In fact, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When she was at the Anglican Consultative Council meeting in Jamaica, which is essentially the vestry for the whole Anglican Communion, she introduced herself in front of the Archbishop of Canterbury and the assembled delegates as the Presiding Bishop of the Episcopal Church, the Presiding Bishop of the Episcopal Church in the Philippines, in the Honduras, and in about 10 or 15 different provinces. She was making it absolutely crystal clear that she sees herself as the hub, and the Episcopal Church as the hub of an Anglican Communion that she is recasting in the image of this false gospel.
Father Wetzel, I've been watching this church body now for the better part of a decade, and what I've noticed is they will push the edge of the envelope. The Episcopal Church USA will push. The Anglican Communion, sometimes rather belatedly, will push back very gently.
Correct.
And no matter how gently the Anglican Communion deals with this erring church body, they seem to be energized toward the left every time there's even the slightest, most polite objection.
Well, in a very real sense, there's no doubt that we're dealing with a wayward teenager. The American church can be seen as the teenage son or daughter of a much older and far more stable in the faith Anglican Communion. And right now we are refusing to heed the voices of very gentle and gracious elders. That's an understandable pattern to those of us who are parents. If I were a betting man, the Episcopal Church will probably repudiate further its ties to the Anglican Communion. But I'm not a betting man. I'm a Christian and hopeful that even at this late hour, the Episcopal Church may pay attention to the chimes in its own heart and turn once more to the faith once delivered to the saints.
Finally, then, to Father Ashe and then again to Father Wetzel, what will be the biggest news headline coming out of the General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA after this week? First, Father Ashe.
I think what you'll see out of the Episcopal Church is many headlines from the Episcopal News Service about their relationships with other places within the Anglican Communion. I think I have a fairly good authority that they've flown in about 35 bishops and archbishops of provinces that they are financing to try and put an international face on what they're doing. And while they may pull back from repealing the Anglican moratorium on on consecrating further gay and lesbian bishops, at least formally repealing it. I believe that they will approve other resolutions which, in effect, will accomplish the same thing without doing it in language that is as upfront and offensive.
And Father Wetzel, same question to you, but with only 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Biggest headline.
The biggest headline is that we are seeing the breakup of the Anglican Communion worldwide based on an affirmation of the faith. And we will see the two-thirds world probably divide to affirm Christ, just as we will see the ACNA, this new creature on the American shores, boldly affirming the faith and holding up the standard of Scripture, and both will prosper, and the West will continue to falter and eventually fail.
Father Todd Wetzel is Executive Director of Anglicans United. Father Wetzel, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, Todd.
And Father Philip Ashe, Chief Operating Officer for the American Anglican Council, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, you will find links to both of these reform groups at issuesetc.org. Click on demand, issuesetc.org. When we come back, 10 more minutes on this Monday afternoon, July the 6th, we'll talk about federal hate crimes legislation. Well, the Attorney General was very quick to point out earlier that the hate crimes legislation is going to have nothing to do with speech. It's only about actual crimes committed, but many are skeptical whether or not the line can be drawn at mere behavior and not extend to public speech, in particular public speech, regarding homosexuality by church leaders, pastors, and Christians in general. We'll talk about hate crimes legislation with Dr. Robert Gagnon of Pittsburgh Theological Seminary on the other side of the break. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
These days, value affords me a new attitude. It lets me appreciate that I can start my day with more than a $6 cup of coffee, and that I officially have permission to skip dinner out to spend time talking with my family over Casserole Inn. Concordia Publishing House offers Christian products that help me focus on what matters most. Visit any of the three Concordia bookstores downtown, in Kirkwood, and on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton, or shop online at cph.org and find out what a new value attitude looks like in your life.
Here's a new way to stay connected to Issues Etc. Check out our page on Facebook. Network with fellow Issues Etc. junkies. Sign up to become a fan, and we'll send you updates on future topics and guests. You'll even find photos of in-studio guests, Todd drinking chalada, and highlights from our one-year anniversary open house. You'll discover that we really do have Faces for Radio on Facebook, Issues Etc. on Facebook, www.facebook.com.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.